Shopify's already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify can do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. That's right, Shopify is the sound of selling everywhere. Online, in-store, on social media, and beyond. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. With Shopify POS, you can accept credit cards, mobile payments, and every other major payment method, all with low fees and transparent pricing, starting on day one. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/MLB podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/MLB podcast to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/MLB podcast.
My 13-year-old acts like a puppy again. Almost overnight, she's a different dog.
Perfect poops.
When people switch their dog's food to the farmer's dog, the effects can seem like magic. But there's no magic involved. It's simply real meat and vegetables with all the nutrients dogs need instead of highly processed pellets. No tricks, just smarter, healthier pet food delivered in packs portioned for your dog. It's amazing what real food can do. Get 50% off your first order at thefarmersdog.com/nomagic50.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Welcome back to the official Red Sox podcast, Inside the Monster, presented by Odyssey. I am Steve Peralt. That is Joey Capone. Y'all know what time it is, folks. It is series preview time. The Guardians are in town. Still not used to that team name. They are in town at Fenway Park for a four-game series that could decide the current and future standing of this Red Sox team.
Yeah,
there's a lot on the line here, Joey. But to get things going, we all know what time it is. It's time for the pitching matchups, and we will throw it over to Joey Capone.
Okay, folks, it is a four-gamer at Fenway for the future of the Red Sox. Get excited! Game one is going to be Zach Plesac versus Nick Pivetta. Pivetta is coming off the three worst starts of the year for him. His July ERA is 13.5, but his FIP over that same time is 6.88, so make of that what you will.
I hate FIP. Can I say that real quick? FIP sucks. I feel like FIP is always a stupid excuse. Oh, well, it's FIP. I had a whole FIP thing last year with E-Rod. Anyway, sorry, I cut you off, Joey. I shouldn't have done
It's an all right way of looking at, okay, well, how accurate is that ERA number?
His ERA is 13. That's what it is.
It's 13.5.
It's worse than 13.
His last time against this Guardian squad was June 24th. He threw seven innings and allowed just two runs. If you like pitchers who suck, you probably like Zach Plesac. His debut he made at Fenway a few years ago, and now, he's near the bottom of the league in just about every major category aside from walk rate and chase rate. His ERA would tell you he's doing all right, but he ain't. He gets hit often and hard. Game two is TBD versus Josh Winkowski. This is the only TBD of this series, I'll let you know, folks. Big Wink has allowed 10 earned runs in his last 17 innings in July. Opponents are hitting his slider at a 199 clip, though, and that continues to be one hell of a strikeout pitch. Game three is Cal Quantrill versus Nathan Eovaldi. Eovaldi's struggling to regain his footing after missing a month on the IL. He's allowed 12 runs on 14 hits and two bombs in his first seven innings back. This would be a great time for him to stop doing that. Cal Quantrill is Canadian, and he has a 3.75 ERA on the season, but a 4.38 in his last six starts. And don't tell Steve, but he has a 4.74 whip. People are asking, is he due for a big second
whip
half?
Whip or FIP?
What?
Whip or FIP?
FIP.
I think you said whip.
I meant as FIP. People are asking, is he due for a big second half just like last year, or will he continue to be middling and unremarkable? Game four is going to be Tristan McKenzie versus Cutter Crawford. Cutter Crawford looks like a major league starter right now. He might just actually be the best starter for the Sox this month. He's rocking a 2.82 ERA and a 2.1 FIP. You love to see it, Steve. I mentioned FIP a whole bunch on this one. Over 22 and a third innings pitch, and he has 24 Ks in those 22 innings. Batters are hitting just .213 against him in July and slugging just .313. McKenzie has pitched 107 innings and has a whip under one. His curve is basically unhittable. His fastball, too, honestly. I mean, the only chance this lineup has of touching him is going to be on his slider. And that is going to do it for your pitching preview. Steve?
Jumping right into the weather updates, brought to you by Ed's Bubblegum.
Shoot and pop it.
I love that all these games are the same time, Joey. We've said this before, but
you'll
I'm a big
that.
Fan of consistently knowing for a four-gamer that starts on a Monday, mm-hmm. that every night of the week leading into that Friday is going to be 7:10 for first pitch. Love that. Monday night, not looking great. Tonight is Monday night. 74% chance of rain. Scattered thunderstorms during the evening. Partly cloudy skies after midnight, which doesn't really help you at all. A low of 66. At least it's going to be cooled off a little bit compared to what it was last week. But yeah, chance of rain in the mid-70s. So not looking great for Monday night. I'm actually, you know what I'm going to do, Joey?
What are you going to do, man?
Let me check this real quick. I'm going to do the hourly. So first pitch, like I mentioned, 7:10. God, it looks bad. Heavy thunderstorms.
Yeah, that's tonight, you're saying?
That's tonight. Tonight in Boston, heavy thunderstorms in that 5-6-7 range leading up to first pitch.
You think they play this game, though?
You know what, Joey? You know what I would not mind at all? I wouldn't mind a rainout in the least.
I don't think you're alone in that, dude.
You and I are so gassed after this trip. It's like, you know what? A night off wouldn't be terrible. And I think the Sox would actually prefer it as well.
Yeah,
but
trip or no trip, I think that everybody's kind of on board with like just taking a night off. That would be all right. But
absolutely.
I have a feeling this game starts around like 8:15.
Yeah, this kind of looks like it's just going to be a late start. And who knows? These things change often. With thunderstorms, I feel like it's less of a guarantee mm-hmm. that they actually happen right around that area that it says it will. But anyway, Tuesday night, it's not going to rain. It's going to be mid-60s. Actually, should be pretty nice, honestly, at Fenway Park, considering some of the previous games that were in the 90s and 80s. Wednesday night, small chance of rain. Light winds, nothing too crazy. Upper 60s on Wednesday night. Thursday night, low 70s, and a 36% chance of rain. So hopefully they can dodge some thunderstorms on Thursday and absolutely dodge them tonight. We will see. But, Joey, that is the weather update. A quick Guardians breakdown for you before we talk about the series a little bit more because we've been talking about it. The Guardians are 9-12 in the month of July. Just for a comp, the Red Sox are 5-15. My God, they're 5-15 in the month of July. The Guardians are one game ahead of the Boston Red Sox in the wild card standings. And since we're talking about the wild card standings, we'll just do an update on the wild card standings just to keep everybody posted here. The Blue Jays are the top team in the wild card, 53-43. The Rays are a half game behind the Blue Jays. The Seattle Mariners are two games behind the Blue Jays. Those are the three wild card teams. The Guardians and the Red Sox are the first two teams on the outside looking in. Guardians two games out of a playoff spot. Red Sox three games out of a playoff spot. The White Sox are also three games out of a playoff spot.
So means a lot, Steve, is what you're saying. The series holds
series
a
means
lot
a lot.
Guardians
are 16th in team OPS in Major League Baseball. They are 17th in the majors in runs scored, 15th in team ERA. Joey, they're an average team.
They're a perfectly average team.
The Guardians are perfectly average. They're right in the middle of like everything. They got some good starters. They got some good hitters. They got some bad starters. They got some bad hitters. It's mm-hmm. about as average as you can get. And I know you listening at home are like, well, what about the Red Sox? They're 48-48. I think overall this year, pretty safe to say they have underperformed outside of that overperforming June. The Red Sox are better than the Guardians. I know not in the standings, but talent-wise, they are better. Obviously, the Sox are struggling injuries-wise right now. And lastly, with the Indians, I knew I was going to do it, Joey.
Who are you talking about?
All right. What's my – I got a penalty for that.
Punch yourself in the face.
All right. Oh, my God. My cheek is
oh,
broken.
My teeth.
Oh, all right. Lastly, for the Guardians, Jose Ramirez leads the team in homers with 19 and RBIs with 78. He is third in Major League Baseball behind Aaron Judge and Pete Alonso in RBIs.
He's one of the best hitters.
Freeman!
Uh-huh. Freeman!
Freeman!
Gogla!
The Gogla! Freeman!
You're one of the best hitters.
you're good at the Jose Ramirez. That's very accurate.
Thanks, man.
Beside me.
After me. Devers this July here. He's rocking an OPS of 987. It's the highest on the team. Yeah. So he's the highest OPS on the team with at least 40 ABs this month. I want you to guess 2, 3, and 4 in OPS with at least 40 ABs this month.
For the Sox?
For the Sox, yeah.
God, the way you're phrasing this, I bet it's not who you would expect.
That is exactly why I'm asking.
2, 3, and 4 for the Red Sox in OPS. Just to clarify again, an OPS in how long?
An OPS in July with at least 40 ABs.
Eesh. Vasquez?
Vasquez is 3.
Doogie?
Nope.
Ref Snyder?
Ref Snyder is 2.
And who else has actually not been terrible? I'm missing the fourth one?
Yep. Yeah, a couple homers have padded this OPS.
Who would... Is it Bob?
It is Bobby Dalbec.
Oh, my God. What?
Yeah. Yeah, so your 1, 2, 3, 4 OPS in July is Devers, Ref Snyder, Vasquez, Dalbec.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And that's... And JD and Xander both have 40 ABs. They're just... They both have an OPS under 700. So...
Joey, I got to say, that is a fun fact, but it's not that fun.
It's not very fun.
No, I'm glad you brought it up because it is eye-opening, but God, is that eye-opening. That's brutal.
It's really bad.
Actually, of things I've heard, because we've heard a lot of crazy stats about the Red Sox in the month of July, that might be the top one that really kind of shows you what's going on. And you got to combo that with the pitching stat, obviously. I think if you had that, I think that's the right hitting stat. And then you need a pitching stat. And, Joey, I got the pitching stat for you.
Oh, hit me.
I'm very excited to hear this.
I'm sure I'm going to feel a lot better.
Hit me. Can't wait. All right, here we go. Everyone listening.
I just want to enjoy this last moment I have before I know this.
Yeah, this is going to be sick. All right. So, y'all ready? Are you ready for this, Joey?
I guess.
All right, everyone listening, get ready for this one. Red Sox starting pitchers are winless in the team's last 23 games. That is the longest streak for the franchise since at least 1995. And this is, by the way, the tweet goes further. Because it came in, Spear retweeted this. I want to give the right credit. Always trying to give the right credit, Joey. Spear retweeted.
For Spear to retweet, it's got to be somebody
legit.
John
Couture. He's with the Globe, I believe.
Okay.
So this is, we're diving into how this stat came to be here. He said it's the longest streak since at least 1995, and he says I suspect it's the longest one in franchise history per Baseball Reference. He then replied to himself saying, I have now confirmed that is the longest streak in Red Sox team history. The previous mark was 20 during the franchise record 20-game losing streak in May of 1906.
What a year, huh?
So Sox starters, no W's in the team's last 23 games. And, Joey, I got to say, we've talked about this before, this concept of when a stat backs up how you feel in the eye test.
Yeah.
And, boy, oh, boy, does this one back up the eye test. Because if I didn't know this stat and you asked me to tell you what the last Red Sox starter win was, I would have no idea what to say.
I mean, 23 games, that's got to go back to, like, the Toronto series?
Goes back to June.
Yeah.
End of June, that goes back to the Toronto series. Yeah. So... Yuck.
Yeah, I mean, talk about like an energy shift, dude. It's crazy how much that series, it's like pre and post that series. That really
that is the mark. Yeah, that is the marker, right? That's the line in the sand, however the hell you want to call it. Once they swept the Guardians in Cleveland, everything was great, man. Top wild card team. I think some of us, this is going to sound silly. You're going to say, oh, no, Steve, that didn't happen. Oh, no, Steve. What are you talking about, Steve? I think, Joey, some Sox fans on June 26th when they swept the Guardians were not counting out the AL East as a possibility.
I think fans who aren't very good at math might have felt that way.
It wasn't inconceivable.
It kind of was, because that's when we did the math and figured out that if the Yankees went 500, the Sox would have to.
I'm not saying us. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you just said it's not inconceivable.
No, I know, but if you'd gone to our head, we would have said it wasn't. But I'm just saying, some folks.
I said folks who aren't good at math, and you said it wasn't inconceivable. I think it was absolutely inconceivable. It wasn't actually
12,
true.
12. They were 11 games. 11 games out of first on June 26th. So, I mean, there was an outside chance.
Sure.
And now it's, obviously forget the division. Now you're just fighting for your life.
I haven't thought about the division in quite some time.
No, it's been over a month. I mean, it's tough, man. There's no reason to have optimism. I think that's something that we can confidently say. Yeah, there it is right there. There really isn't, though. So I know. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of times in this show we're trying to give you a silver lining. The silver lining would be, you know, hopefully JD's back. And in his head, is he thinking I'm probably traded in a week? And if he's thinking that, you want to have a good last impression with the team that you're on that might deal you in terms of, you know, forget the value. He wouldn't care about the value that comes back to the Red Sox. He wants to go to the best possible team, and this is a great time to showcase that. That's probably what JD's thinking. I can almost guarantee you, Joey, that's what JD's thinking. The fact that he, you know, mentioned to Bradfoe, it's a win-win for JD. Either he stays here to finish this off or he goes to a contender. That's a big part of this week. Xander Bogaerts, we're going to, again, after this Guardian series, we'll talk more about the trade deadline stuff, but really can't emphasize enough how much is on the line here in this four-gamer.
It's hard not to talk about the trade deadline because that's really all that this series is about. You know, yeah, it's kind of
about the wild card.
Yeah, it's kind of about clawing your way back into the wild card, but those things go hand in hand.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You're only trying to claw your way back into the wild card so that the trade deadline goes in the right direction for you. You know, you're not trying to get in just because you think, like, the trade deadline is going to, you know, just miss Heim and he's not going to do anything about it. You're hoping that you claw your way back in as a way to prove that, hey, like, this lineup can get it done and, like, maybe there's a piece or two that could help add and try to turn into buyers rather than sellers. But, coming out 0-3, and if you come out 1-5, 2-6 out of the gate into the second half, you're kind of signing your own
into the last 2 months. I agree. I think
it doesn't matter.
The funny thing is,
you said
one and six and 2-5, and my brain immediately went to that's probably what it's gonna be. That's right. Isn't that kind of where your head's at right now? If Vegas is making odds, I think they would say the Sox go 2-5 this week. That would probably be the most likely outcome, which is like, what
splitting,
the hell?
That's splitting with the Guardians here?
Because
they're
only getting swept by the Brewers. Either way, you cut it. Mm-hmm. These are good teams. Then you have the Astros right after that. The Astros, like we mentioned, are the last game before the deadline.
You can't even worry about that one because, I mean, that's not going to – that one game on August 1st is not going to affect the deadline. It's just the lead up to that's going to matter. I say that the deadline matters more than the wild card standings right now because, you know, if everybody else loses, you know, if the Jays are losing and the Rays are losing and the Mariners are losing, like, that doesn't matter. Like, if you still stay three games back and stay even, like, that doesn't really matter, I think. You know what I mean? I think it's about solo performance at this point, about, like, how you look, how this team is doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
do you feel that way?
You don't want to let the standings and potential other losing streaks make you look better. I hear what you're
saying. That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. And I think that's something that, even right now, not all the wild card teams are killing it. The Jays are, but the other teams mostly aren't. You look at wild card standings right now, and you got the Rays lost a couple in a row. The Mariners have lost three in a row. The Guardians have lost a couple in a row. It's funny the White Sox have the same record as the Red Sox. That's crazy. That really caught up to me. But, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, they're at a point right now where this has just all happened so fast. 2 weeks ago today, Joey, 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks is not a long time.
It's really not. It's like 14 days.
2 weeks ago today, the Red Sox were the top wildcard team. And in 14 days, it has just gone completely off the rails. Like, everything has gone wrong for the whole Sox roster at the same exact time. It's the worst two-week span possible. And the stats back it up, right? When it's like, oh, this five-game run differential is the worst in baseball history.
Like, I believe it.
No team has had starters, you know, winless in 23 straight games. Like, it's just constant.
Yeah,
it's constant on both sides of the ball. So I just, if you're a naysayer of the Red Sox, congratulations. This is a great week for you leading up to the deadline. I mean, Shaughnessy's got to be doing circles right now, man. This is a hell of a time to be Dan Shaughnessy. But yeah, we're not going to sit here and give you some overly positive outlook for the series. They got to prove that they can do anything this week, or they're probably going to be sellers.
Yeah. I know you don't want to talk about it quite yet, but
Thursday.
I know. This is just a little preview here. I'm not getting into details here, but the question of what exactly does sellers mean is killing me. You know, like, what exactly?
A lot of different levels to that.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, to what extent are they sellers? That's going to kill me. Because I think if you're a Sox fan, you should probably brace for impact, and you should probably be aware that looks more likely than not that some pieces are going to be moved. The question is how many, who, and, you know, what does this team look like on the other side? So that's a little scary, that unknown, but you can still prevent it. I still believe there's enough time. I mean, if you win four games against the Guardians and two against the Brewers, yeah, I'm saying if you do that, if you go 6-1 in your next seven, like, I mean, it's still in their hands at the end of the day. Do I think the lineup being what it is, if Jeter Downs is your DH, like, do I think that you have a chance to go in and sweep a four-gamer? No, I don't. But is it ultimately at the end of the day in their hands? Yes. So it's not. There's still hope.
Joey,
there's a chance, at least. I won't say hope. There's a chance.
I'm gonna do what I love doing. If the Red Sox sweep the Guardians, it's not the Pedro one. We're upgrading. If the Red Sox sweep the Guardians, I will buy a listener a David Ortiz authentic 2004 World Series jersey.
I listen to our show.
Yeah?
I listen.
Oh, that took me a second. Dude, I'm slow right now.
What I'm saying is I'm a listener. Buy me the jersey, dude.
I hear you. It took me a second. But yeah, so that's what's on the line here.
I'm just saying.
Joey.
I'm not even saying I'm hopeful that it will. I'm just saying there's a chance. It's ultimately still in the Sox hands at the end of the day.
They play four games against them, so there is a chance.
That's exactly it. That's the only thing that makes it a chance, makes it possible, is that they're playing a game.
They are playing them. They obviously need the big three back. I know Devers is on the IL, and that part of it hurts. But JD's just, again, we're saving a lot of this for Thursday. JD is not the JD that they've had in the past. I know he's an all-star. He was barely an all-star. And the power's way down. The RBIs are way down. So it's like, if they get him back, well, is it power JD? 90% likely not. So is that guy going to help that much? I mean, probably a little bit, but is he 100%? No. So you just keep going back and forth with this stuff. And Sox are, it's quite simply, Joey, they're going to have to show us in this week, specifically in this four-gamer, that the season can be saved. We're not going to say the season can be saved. They have to show us that this season can be saved. Last little tidbit I have here. I was curious, Joe.
Yep.
Went to Fangraphs.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to see, hey, what do they have for the Sox percentage chances of making the postseason? What's your guess, honestly?
Percentage of making the postseason?
For Fangraphs, yeah.
19.
26, so in the same ballpark. It's basically one out of four. via FanGraphs that the Sox make the play. And that feels about right.
It changes so drastically so quick.
But I like it, though, because even how I've thought it's stupid for a while, but I also just like having a thing that we can discuss that a well-respected site comes up with. Like I think that's all I really need it to be. And 26%, I'm not going to lie, it's feels kind of accurate based on what's going on right now.
Yeah, I mean, that number changes a ton on August 2nd. It's hard to guesstimate. You just don't know. I mean, the chances are going to go drastically up or drastically down in a week's time.
Yeah, but that's not the point. The point is, what's it at right now?
It's at 26. Yeah, but right now it's not the team a week from now. So you're just talking about a different team.
It's a day-by-day update. The point is what's happened with the team recently.
I understand,
we all know the deadline's
but the playoffs
coming up.
Are in
it's
the future.
It's
going to
be different on October 1st. Like,
exactly.
Yeah, I know.
What I'm saying is the playoffs are in the future, and the team that's going to be playing in the future is not the team that's playing in the present.
You're negating the whole point of the percentages, of the day-by-day percentages. That's what, right now, it's 26.
And I'm saying it's hard for me to feel anything about that because that's not going to be the number in a couple days. It's going to be very different. If it was,
I don't think it'll be. It might not be very different.
Okay. Let's say the big bad
drastic
word.
Moves,
let's say
right?
the big
you're
bad
implying...
word. If they move bogey, that number doesn't change.
Yeah, but then you're implying drastic moves is what I'm saying. I don't. Right now, I'm not at drastic move territory. But again, this is. So we'll save it for Thursday.
I think it's okay to talk. I think people are all thinking about it. People are already there mentally. I understand like the big breakdown and whatever, but still, like, I think people are thinking about this right now.
I think that's of course they're thinking about it right now. That's why we're talking about it. But Thursday is going to be a big one for trade deadline stuff. Joey, I got the trivia question for you.
All right.
I think you might actually nail this, or you've looked it up. Maybe. What was the 1996 Red Sox record through 96 games? That's where the Sox are at right now, 48-48. What was the 96, be like 96? What do you think they were at?
I'm going to say right near there. I'm going to say 46-50.
Ooh, off by two. 44-52.
Okay.
So the Sox are four games better than the 96 Red Sox, who if this current format, the current playoff format was a thing, would have made the playoffs after a 10-19 start. So I have liked checking in on that. I'm glad we did the Be Like 96 thing because it's been a good barometer, even though it's, at its heart, it's so stupid because that was 26 years ago. But
if it was consistently that they were with them, you know, through this point and now we're passing them, that would feel better. The fact that we were like, we don't even need to look at the 96 team. This team's so much better. And now we're back to comparing them to the 96 team. That doesn't feel too great.
It's now a barometer for the Red Sox, this version playing poorly.
Yeah. Yeah.
We were leading the race by a lot and like our engine's kind of screwed, but we're still ahead of these scrubs over here that are in the double car.
Moving the bar. It's moving tough. The goalposts. But
yeah, it's tough. But yeah, it is what it is. At least we set it up early so we can go back to it. But
right. Yeah, it'd be crazy if we just brought it up now. If we were like, hey guys, at least they're not the 1996 sucks.
Yeah, the 1996 sucks. Like that, everything sucks lately. This has just been Joey, I got to say though, I'm happy to watch all the games. You know what I mean? From start to finish. Like connection in Cooperstown is not great. Trying to watch the game on your phone, it's almost impossible.
I hate it, man. 2 days in a row, I was like visibly irritable and like chain smoking cigarettes because I couldn't get my connection to the Nessun app. Like we were at Cooley's one day and I couldn't get my phone working and like just had to like walk laps around the building. And then the same thing happened at the parade and afterwards, like not being able to get the game going is the worst. Like I don't like not watching the Sox even when they're getting pounded into the
dirt. Well, you still want to be educated on what's happening. And, you know, obviously we do the official show, but, like, we're diehards, and I don't like being away from it. I don't like not being able to follow when these events line up at the same time. Kind of sucks, but it is what it is. That's how it goes. So, Red Sox, Guardians, four-gamer from Fenway Park. Weather should be a little cooler. Watch out for a downpour on Monday night. And the rest of the series should be upper 60s, low 70s. Should be pretty nice at the old ball yard. Joey, this is it right here, man. This is kind of your season in this four-gamer, and that's not a drastic thing to say. I think it decides a lot for Haim. It decides a lot for the state of the fan base and for the sanity of Alex Cora. You got anything else you want to add before we close out here?
No, I'm glad you mentioned Cora, though. I was thinking that, too. I mean, he's holding back a lot in these pressers right now. I mean, you know what he wants to say. It's frustrating. It's infuriating. So for Coors' sake, win these games, boys. Would you win these games?
I watched the highlight on MLB Network this morning of the game yesterday, and they showed a shot. They showed a shot at AC, like right after Tapia had like a triple, and he just looks like, what is going? Like, what has happened? It's just a classic. Like, how did this happen so fast? It's one thing when it's when it's slow. It's one thing when it's like lose 2019. Yeah, exactly. 2019 was a very slow death.
Yeah, it was like, oh, they just are stinking. It just looks like they don't have it.
They just continue, and then it's over.
Yeah.
And there goes Mookie. But, you know, everything just kind of happens. Yeah. But now it's like 2 weeks, man. We're talking about 2 weeks. We're talking about 2 weeks of a span here.
Yeah. Even during the Friday game, the 28-5 game, every shot of Cora, you could tell he's like trying to hide his emotions.
I know.
But like not doing the best job of it. You know, he's.
It's hard to. He's front and center there. He's
dude, I wouldn't be able to do. Are you kidding me?
No, I'd be going to the clubhouse a little bit, a couple breaks. Yeah.
Dude, I'd be taking laps. I'd be counting the bricks outside or something.
Yeah.
Laying down and taking deep breaths or something. I'd be losing
my mind. For $200, get a Fenway brick. Get your name on it. Put it right in the clubhouse. You want this brick to be read by the manager when your team's losing 28-5? That can happen. Joey, this sucks. And we are going to try to stay as positive as possible, but we're going to stay as realistic as possible. Thursday's show is going to be a hell of a show. That much I know. And we might highly likely we'll throw a short in at some point during this Guardian series. I almost said the other team name again.
Don't.
And I believe we have an 0-4 player interview this week. It's either this week or next week, so that'll be fun. But that's the setup for this week, Joey. Be ready for anything. You're totally right with the brace for impact. Brace for any kind of impact. It could be really brutal. It could be like Sully Sullenberg. You know, it could be a save the day kind of impact. So we'll see. We're gonna see what kind of impact we got coming up, Joe.
Yeah, we should definitely check in after game two. Like,
I'm fine with that.
During the halfway point of this series, check in and who knows? Maybe start bracing. Maybe get too hopeful.
Maybe the plane goes back up. You know, maybe it's like, nope, we don't have to crash land.
We're good. I told you this recently, but the scariest moment I've ever had on a plane.
Oh no! I don't think I want to hear this. Did you already tell me?
I did. Yeah.
Okay.
I was asleep, and I woke up to turbulence, and there was a dad, as I learned later, who was picking up his kid who had fallen, but he thought it would be funny to yell "Mayday, Mayday!" as this was happening. So I woke up to a turbulence and somebody yelling "Mayday, Mayday!" Maybe that's what we're going through right now, dude. You ever think about it like that?
Yeah, this.
Maybe
could
we
be
just
like
woke up
the...
and we're like, "Oh, the plane's going down." And then we're like, "Oh, wait, no, it's just a dad dropping his kid." You ever think about that?
This could be a fake Mayday. We could be in a fake Mayday situation. But
fake day.
Fake day.
It's terrible.
I know. This is terrible. Everything's been terrible, and ideally the mood has shifted by Thursday. But like Joey said, we will likely be checking in halfway through the series. But until then, we'll see what happens, man. For Joey Capone, I am Steve Peralt. Go Sox, kid.